Okay, Councilmember Newsom.
Thank you. I wanted to speak to the traffic on northbound 101 at the ECR stop sign. How do we anticipate the additional volume affecting our ongoing stacking that happens on a regular basis at that exit?
This would be on the off-ramp, on northbound off-ramp at El Camino. So again, they analyzed, and I'll compliment the applicant team because they really work closely with the city engineering staff to address our concerns and do the analysis at the intersections we requested. This is one of them. And really, at that intersection, I don't really have the delta on those, but there's plenty. That intersection is still going to operate at an acceptable level. All the intersections right now operate at a level of service A, which is the best. And I don't have this right offhand, but I think all those will also continue to operate at a level of service A as well. And the queuing distance isn't even, none of the queuing distance from traffic generated by this project is going to even come close to being impacted. So there's plenty of storage on the off-ramps and the approaches to all the intersections.
Having spent quite a bit of time on that side of town, as well as visit a Chick-fil-A every time I go to the city, I have the experience of it stacking even worse than In-N-Out. And I have sat in those lines. But what I'm more concerned about is the volume of traffic for our residents trying to utilize Home Depot, Starbucks, and everything else in there. And just exiting the 101 northbound at that stop sign, it's not uncommon for someone to blow that stop sign and also stand there for, a much longer amount of time as everybody tries to figure out how to navigate that intersection. And then the volume of cars. I anticipate everything that we see going on San Anselmo a little bit more because I think Chick-fil-A has got its own calling of its own. One of the things that this council has done is put a moratorium on drive-through at the San Anselmo, and the In-N-Out was a huge impact on that because we knew that that corridor at San Anselmo could not take another drive-through of that magnitude in the Kmart parking center. There's also a moratorium on the Del Rio with the Taco Bell being the last drive-through that goes in. So what tends to happen is each drive-through impacts the ability to navigate those intersections drastically. So I want to make sure that we have items in place that's not affecting the neighborhood and allowing us to go about our regular visits to Home Depot, because the spill out for the Chick-fil-A has the potential to run down a residential corridor, which is Ramona. And Ramona has, blind curves. It's got a lot of residential property with animals as well as young children. And the speeds in that corridor, I'd hate to see the traffic funnel into there. So I'd be interested to see the studies that were done outside of the pad for development.
And I did just look at review the counts that they had in there, and the addition of traffic in the morning and afternoon for the off-ramp is about one car per minute. That would be additional added from the project leaving the freeway.
Okay. So we do not anticipate having to do any type of realignment of ECR right there at that intersection?
No, the only thing that we've asked the applicant to do is reconfigure the approach, the northbound approach to San Ramon, the four-way stop there by the Starbucks, because the majority of the additional traffic that's going to be coming is going to be going through the intersection. Right now, the configuration, there's two lanes. Currently, there's a shared right and through.
Can you show it on the screen? Is it in their slides?
I believe so. There's a shared through and right, and then there's a dedicated left turn only. I'm not sure if this is showing. It's on the other side or to the bottom of this page. So
I think if you explain it from the bottom, though, you're saying right now there's the right lane is a right turn
and through,
and the left lane is a left only.
Left only. And what's going to happen is there's going to be most of the traffic generated by this project is going to go through the intersection. So one of the things we've worked with the applicant on is realigning that to have it a shared through left and a dedicated right, because a lot of the traffic right now is, let's say, taking a right to go to the Home Depot or Starbucks or whatever is that way, and very little traffic is going through. So balances that out better, and it'll balance the queuing at the intersection much better. And so going through the intersection, we worked with the applicant to define that through lane through, because the existing median that you see here on the other side of the intersection will need to be modified to allow an appropriate shift through that intersection, and define that through lane for traffic, say, going up and over the train tracks, and then also defining that left turn pocket better and getting a little more queuing in there. So I believe it's going to work very well, and it'll be a good design to accommodate the additional traffic.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the Spring Hill Suites roundabout. One of the articles said there was going to be a no left turn on one of the driveways. Are we going to add another no left turn on the roundabout so we're not draining into our traffic's going down and turning around in the residential area?
Yeah, so leaving the roundabout driveway, so that'll be an acceptable to take a left turn out, will be fine. It's the driveway to the south that's kind of at a skew there. That's really meant to funnel traffic into the site and keep the, so it doesn't back up onto the intersection of San Ramon and El Camino. So that one will prohibit left-hand turns.
But the roundabout will allow a left-hand turn?
The roundabout left-hand turns will be acceptable.
Okay. How do we see the additional traffic in this corridor with just the all three pads being developed affecting that neighborhood and going across the bridge into the residential area?
Yeah, we don't, the traffic report really didn't show any additional traffic being routed to the north into that neighborhood. So that traffic will, you know, it's kind of funny actually, because I looked at some of the traffic before and after the numbers earlier today going southbound, and there's going to be less traffic going through it because I'm guessing people in the PM are going to be turning into Chick-fil-A to get dinner or something. But there'll be more traffic turning into that center in the PM than in morning than going through. So it's interesting, but no traffic impacts for the neighborhood to the north.
And is there an existing sign that says dead end or not a through street? Is that
I believe there is one right now.
Is it after you cross the bridge or before the cross the bridge?
I believe it's shortly just north after of the San Ramon, the four-way stop. I think it's right there. So in this picture, it would be just right across the street from the Starbucks in the northbound direction.
Okay.
So we may relocate that just beyond the roundabout intersection and
to show that that's a closed residential area.
Yes.
Or private. Signage, you mentioned signage. Is any of the lighting going to be LED?
No, I don't believe so. I would have to double check with the applicant, but I don't believe they call out that level of detail on the sign.
Because that requires a special use permit. Is that correct? For LED signs?
I think we can wait till the applicant speaks. Maybe the applicant can answer that question when we invite them up.
We've had it and asked previously on different developments, so I want to make sure we address that we're not putting in really large, tall monument LED signs.
We will review that with the building plans. But yeah, they have a sign, master sign plan that was approved with the with the development as a whole. So the only exception that they're asking for when I reviewed the plans was that sizing of the signs. Everything else in terms of the details they provided complies with that master sign or sign plan for the Home Depot Center.
And the car wash logo on that building is not lighted?
They will likely be internally illuminated.
Okay. I know with the neighborhood's concern about lighting, I just wanted to make sure clarified and understood what was lighted. You'd mentioned that there was a noise study done prior to the applicant submitting the application. Is that correct?
Yes.
On prior noise studies, an example being human being, there was concern from the residents that they were really close to the proximity of something that would have loudspeakers and large volume in their area. Is it possible to put a contingency or a follow-up with a neighbor on 6 months because it's a conditional use with a noise study? I think we have an existing one in a ECR corridor.
That is possible, yes.
Okay, I think that's all my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have some questions regarding phasing. You know, this consists, these approvals in this project consists of three pads, three structures, that being the, you know, the Chick-fil-A, the car wash, and the commercial one. From a, you know, services to our constituents and a revenue generating standpoint, we're obviously most interested and excited about the Chick-fil-A. The car wash, frankly, is an eh, you know, as long as it doesn't bother the neighbors, but it's certainly not something that I'm, you know, excited about. I want to make sure that we don't end up with a car wash and for any reason whatsoever, the Chick-fil-A is delayed or not built. Is there any phasing in this project approval?
There is not, as proposed. The council does have the ability to condition the project in such a way, but I think that's a good discussion to have with the applicant team as they come in.
And then as well, you know, so there's no obviously specific timetable for pad three, the commercial shell.
No, other than what they expect or what they have suggested.
Yeah. Okay. And as I understand it from previous, discussions with the city manager, we did anticipate that the Chick-fil-A would be underway as soon as possible from a construction permit standpoint.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. In terms of the traffic, I mean, having had to abort a trip or two to In-N-Out Burger on a Friday evening, because I would, you know, would be the last car who wasn't sticking out into the roadway or et cetera. I find that, you know, when the fuller the drive-through lane is, at least in the past before In-N-Out changed their configurations, the harder it was to park. And so, you know, the concern being is, are people going to use, if the drive-thrus are full, will they use the parking? And I think, you know, if people are driving all over the place trying to get into the drive-through line, they actually make the parking lot almost gridlocked and harder to get into. But I do feel that, you know, this is more capacity than In-N-Out. It's much farther off the freeway than In-N-Out. So I feel reasonably comfortable, even though some of those numbers sound kind of low that Mr. DeBar just quoted. But I am concerned, and Councilmember Newsom alluded to this on an ongoing basis, but I'm particularly concerned at the opening about people in the neighborhood across the bridge literally not being able to go home or customers not being able to get to Home Depot because they're stuck in a 30-minute gridlock of people wanting to try out Chick-fil-A. So I'm not, you know, a traffic engineer. I don't want to micromanage or make sausage up here, but I do want to make sure that, you know, you guys and that the applicant understands that we wish them all the success in the world. But in those opening days, whether it's a soft opening that you don't, you know, advertise it quite so much or what have you, but we've got to make sure that in the opening couple weeks that our neighborhood folks can go home without having to, wait or preferably not having to route themselves through the Home Depot parking lot to get around this, that sort of thing. So I hope that's really seriously addressed. And then on the noise study, you know, this lighting that we talked about was, you know, approved 20 years ago. The existing neighbors have a concern about those existing lights, and I think we can fix that. But I've always struck how sometimes things just don't turn out like you think. You know, you guys are smart, come up with great conditions, and then sometimes it just doesn't pan out. And I'm concerned about a noise study. I think of being in the military about artillery sounds can go, you know, we can hear artillery from Camp Roberts on certain days. You know, acoustics are a very odd thing. And I think, you know, from my understanding, I'm less concerned about the noise to the neighbors below for some of the reasons you described, but noise can travel a long ways. I'd probably be more concerned about the people across the Home Depot parking lot. And I'm wondering if there's any, you know, buffering of the vacuums in terms of headed that way, noise-wise, and or, like Councilmember Newsom, I think, alluded to, is, you know, 6 months down the road, if we're getting a lot of neighboring complaints, that there would be the ability to go, okay, going to have to do a little retrofit here or something, whether it be, you know, more bushes, more this, more that, I don't know. But I am concerned that, you know, sometimes studies done by the most competent people just don't pan out the way you think they do. So is that something that could be addressed?
Mayor, you're asking for a performance standard. Certainly those can go into conditional use permit. We can have a 6 month or 1 year or both follow up. We can also respond if we have neighborhood concerns. Does something need to change? Certainly. We believe as staff, we've thought of all those stopgaps in this particular design. I mean, for example, the tunnel, the dryer faces away from the residential, it faces towards commercial development. But certainly you can have a condition here that has a 6 month or a 1 year review. You can do that for any use permit to adjust conditions on lighting, adjust conditions on noise, all of those things. And the benefit we have with this particular site compared to In-N-Out is this is part of a regional shopping center. And there's a lot of parking, even though they're asking for a slight reduction. The amount of shared parking is enormous. And if you look at that empty parking lot that's across from the Starbucks right now, right, you know, people had to, if they wanted to walk in and they couldn't get in the parking lot because it's the first opening week or two.
Right.
I got a lot of options, which is different than the In-N-Out. And so you don't have the option over there. You know, right, it's an isolated site. This isn't. And it helps in a lot of things.
The Staples parking lot is pretty much available most of the time and could be used during opening as long as there was some, you know, crosswalk guard or something.
Mayor, I also wanted to add on condition 20, and I think this is important. Chick-fil-A's can be quite busy. And I think I've seen some in shopping centers that probably have more employees managing traffic outside in bright vests than they have working inside. And I think that's, and I want our applicant to talk about that, but that's why we have condition 20, not just a queuing plan showing volume, but we want a staffing narrative that shows what staffing measures they'll implement at busy times, whether there'll be staff people directing people over to the Staples side, queuing them up there and then moving them over. That's very important, especially when it opens. And that's why we also have the coordination plan that will work with them on us if this is approved. But perhaps the applicant, when they have a chance, can speak more to Chick-fil-A's ability to manage traffic, but they are very good at it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, certainly they have experience in this. You know, they know how to run a busy facility, and I think we can appreciate that they will work with staff and be professional about it. And I'm not going to try to, like, say, make the sausage up here. Just want to make sure, you know, staff understands the council's concern on it. I'm going to open it up to the applicant. We normally give the applicant up to 10 minutes, but please don't repeat the things that staff already said. We heard that. If you could, you know, perhaps address any questions you feel staff didn't completely answer, but we welcome you.
Thank you, Mayor Bobeau, members of the council. It's a pleasure to be here. My pleasure to be here this evening. For the record, my name is Connor Best with Westar Associates, and I promise you I won't repeat what Eric so aptly already told you. But I'm Connor Best with Westar Associates, representing Atascadero 101 Associates, the property owner. We've owned and managed this center for nearly 30 years, and we're proud to be here with the final phase of its development. This project completes the build-out of a uniquely constrained Highway 101 interchange site. The plan includes three final components: a drive-thru restaurant, complimentary retail pad building, and a car wash. Uses that work together to round out the center and support its long-term success. I'd like to thank the Planning Commission for their thoughtful comments and recommendation of approval. Since that hearing, we've continued to work closely with staff to further coordinate off-site striping and circulation improvements, analyze crosswalk operations, plan for grand opening conditions associated with Chick-fil-A, and clarify language within the conditions of approval. Through that process, we've addressed the key concerns raised and are now in full agreement with all conditions of approval as presented. More broadly, this project provides convenient services for local residents, travelers along Highway 101, and nearby businesses while making efficient use of an already developed commercial site. We appreciate the continued collaboration from staff and Planning Commission, and we believe this project before you reflects that collective effort. I respectfully request your approval this evening, and I'm happy to answer your questions, of which please remind me if I forget one here. So, Councilmember Peak, you mentioned the in-and-out capacity, and speaking back here, that is only a single-lane operation. It doesn't have the queue capacity that we have here, and with staff's recommendations, I think we've provided a significant queue here. I don't know about the operations of the Quickie Car Wash, but we heard the staff's answers there. And the site lighting, as you heard from Eric, we are happy to shield the poles that we control on our property. Happy to do it. We will do it. But there are some light poles along that northern boundary that are on other parcels owned by other parties, and we will do our best good faith efforts to coordinate with them and have them shield those as well. The thought process of eliminating those and just relying on wall pack lights does concern us from an insurance and liability standpoint, being that there's a significant drop off to the north to the US 101 or the Union Pacific Railroad tracks there. So we like having those light stanchions along that perimeter fence, along that drop off, just for the errant vehicle who might travel too far north. So that would be our concern with eliminating those light poles completely, but we're happy to shield them. Councilmember DeReitz, the PD9 car wash not allowed. I think staff covered it, but to add our color, we also don't understand why automotive uses aren't allowed in the PD9 overlay. In 2007, we did have on this Chick-fil-A site a Chevron approved. And unfortunately, it was a Chevron with a car wash, and unfortunately, they were able to terminate that lease. So we've had these uses approved before, but we're not really sure how the PD9, and I think Phil adequately summed it up, but I think we all kind of, it's in the ether now. So the noise concerns, you know, and the to jump ahead a little bit for the car wash, we hear you. We tried to orient that building to limit that amount of noise, and we're happy to you know, have a 6-month or 12-month check-in after certificate of occupancy. We're happy to do that, not a problem. And then for the phasing question, we're happy to phase the car wash application of building permits after, you know, we receive building permits for Chick-fil-A. It is our intention for Chick-fil-A and Pad 2 to go in sequence of these numbering. So Chick-fil-A and Pad 2, the retail pad building just south of the Spring Hill Suites, would be our intent to build those simultaneously up front. And then once we secure an operator for the car wash, that would follow. So we're happy to, you know, agree not to bring that forward first. The car wash signage, you know, I believe the question of it being lit, we do expect it to be lit. All of the lighting will adhere to, you know, municipal code, whether it's LED or fluorescent tubes, or I'm trying to think of our monument signs that we have in our pylon signs. I think those are fluorescent tubes. I don't think we have LED signs, but I can't speak for Staples and Home Depot and any improvements they might have done to their signage since we built the project. The buffering of the noise and the dryers, without an operator, we don't have the exact location of where those blowers or dryers might be, but we're happy to listen to any sort of suggestions during tenant improvement plan drawings or some sort of conditions there. There is not any huge cost implications to shielding the existing lights. We're happy to work on those as far as we can. The traffic flow backing up to the freeway, I think Public Works Director DeBar answered that question deftly. Thank you very much. And I have to tell you that his team anticipated your comments and your concerns very, very well. And we had 3 or 4, you know, hours-long meetings figuring it out and a little arm wrestling, but we're very happy with it. And we've been here for 30 years. It's your town. It's our project. We want it to operate at the highest and best level that it can. And we hope to be here for many, many years to come and make sure that it's not a nuisance that people aren't using this highway interchange. Our existing customers at Home Depot and Starbucks, we do think that that's a great improvement for that right-hand turn and then that through and left. That allows the existing customers to travel east and everyone else to travel north. So I think those are great improvements that we made there. Let me know if I'm missing any here.
That's okay. We can come up with some questions for you, I think.
Great. Come on.
Members of the council have a question.
Yeah, it was the, what does Chick-fil-A determine? Are they, I guess, how am I supposed to say, is it more skewed towards drive-through versus dine-in? What is it typically a restaurant like Chick-fil-A?
Absolutely. I would love to answer that question, but there's somebody much more qualified to do it. His name is Carlos Arias from Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Let me
go ahead. Introduce. Come on up. Thank you.
Good evening, Council. And first off, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I can't come up here and not thank you, as we're so excited for the opportunity to be a part of the city. We've been wanting to be here for a while, so thank you. We're excited. And thank you for the property owner team as well. Council, on your question, it really varies depending on location and surrounding area. This one, so generally speaking, it's usually a little skewed more than half of the business is drive-through. Probably because there's higher turnover in the drive-through lane, right? So if you're in dining in, it's going to be typically a slower turnover car, guest dining in, linger a little bit longer. They're there to have a meal. We serve our guests out in the dining room as well. This particular one has a playground, so cars are just going to, our families that want to choose to dine in with us are just going to linger, and we welcome them to do that. That's why it's there and we offer that. We do expect this one to be higher than or more than half, just considering freeway proximity to be in the drive-through lane. But since I'm up here, I would like to maybe add some context to a lot of the questions that have come up. I'll start by maybe highlighting the site. This one is particularly exciting to us because, relatively speaking, this is a large site. In California, this is relatively large. And so we have a lot more parking, a lot of parking as mentioned. Would you mind going back to the site plan? Thank you. So a couple of key differences, some site characteristics that I would point to that I think would hopefully provide a peace of mind is the drive-through lane has been situated to basically route all the way to as far away from the curb cuts from the driveways as possible. That's a big key component for us. We like to have 2 curb cuts, one at the roundabout, one south of that's skewed, slanted over, because it provides flexibility for our customers to come in and come out. In other words, if one seems to start to back up, the natural counter movement, the intuitive movement for our customers to take the other path of least resistance. And that's what we normally see happen. I think the other consideration is new stores that have opened within the last 2 or 3 years have the 2 lanes that go all the way around. So from start to finish to the end, right, where the pickup window is. And that's been it's been a game changer for us from an innovation standpoint, because it makes us a lot more efficient through the drive-through lane. What it does is it allows us to cut down a few critical steps. We have an app, and so it allows customers to place the order even before they get onto the site. And so when they get on site, we sense it, or you say, I'm here at the site now. And if you choose to get in the drive-through lane, you basically don't have to wait, stop, think about what you're going to order on the menu, and then you have to take payment. Instead, you're really bypassing that and then able to cheat forward, and you're able to get in and out of the drive-through lane a lot quicker. Some of our stores, depending on the amount of use that we get from the app, will actually allocate, they'll dedicate one of the lanes to be for that use only. And that has been just, it drastically increases our efficiency throughout the site. It really helps us become a good neighbor, really. Well, the last thing we want, it's in our interest to make sure this site is circulating properly, to make sure it's safe. It's good for our customers. It's also good for our neighbors. We don't want to be hearing from our neighbors complaining that we are negatively impacting them. We don't want community members reaching out to you because there's stacking problems. And so, again, this particular site is great for those couple reasons. Plenty of parking, plenty of stacking. We, as a part of the traffic report, also went above and beyond for establishing a great plan with the city to circulate if in case we do overflow during grand opening. It's pretty normal for us to be busier than normal. And so it's hopefully provides.
You staff will have your full cooperation during opening couple weeks.
Absolutely.
So you don't need to go into detail about that. So does council members have any other question for anybody on the applicant team? Bunk?
Yeah, I'd ask, looking at the diagram that we see here, the flow that Eric had shown is for cars to go all the way to the back of the site in front of the other building and queue up. If that gets busy, how do you keep cars from queuing in three lanes at once? So queuing all the way through all of the parking.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would point everyone in this room to see the stars. There's two orange stars in the right next to the blue arrows, and we would deploy signage and or team members. It's in the legend down below as well. And we would be forcing everyone to just keep going around. The gray areas on the screen, just for a point of reference, those are hypothetical cars, right? We have the blue or maybe purple, that would be the normal busy hour. You can see the two red ones are what we can actually fit in the drive-through lanes a little bit more. What we don't show is in front of the orange cars, we can actually accommodate even more. We can push cars forward. If orange car number one orders 60 sandwiches, and I hope they do, look, the second car behind them only orders a soda, we're going to start delivering meals to car number two, three, four, and then they can go around. So that's one of the key benefits of having the drive-through lane go two lanes all the way around as well. The gray cars is probably what we all care about for grand opening. Busyness, you see one lane here, we could probably go two. Before it even gets to where the blue arrow starts or ends, I guess, the last gray car, we could probably double stack. That's about 60 cars, and we're not even close to the public right-of-way. So again, credit to the staff for helping us work through that to come up with a plan. That condition, as pointed out, is probably where the city hangs your hat to say, hey, the city can actually step in and make them change things around if needed. So we're excited about it.
Great, thank you.
Again, we all foresee a lot of different potential problems here, and we're not traffic engineers. I'm going to leave it for me. I think we should leave it with you guys and our staff to work on those opening time plans. Because I see, now if you're not letting people come down those lanes, are you going to let them park there? All those kinds of problems that you can foresee, we expect you guys and our staff to come up with workable solutions for that, even to the point of, you know, if you open up a business in Bad 2 and now nobody can come to it because the gray cars are in the way, you guys will think through all that stuff. So we don't need to, solve that all tonight. Councilmember Newsom, you had a question.
Are you guys going to be using speaker ordering at this location, or is it just mostly just the people just like in and out?
We have speakers. What normally happens during peak hours is they do not get utilized because we employ our team members to start taking orders even further upstream from that. similar to what you would see at In-N-Out, yes.
In-N-Out stopped using their speakers and deployed the extra staff on each side to be able to manage the volume.
Sure.
I'd be concerned that our entire high school senior class is going to try to show up. I don't know if you knew, we did a we did some public engagement and we encouraged our seniors to do general plan development, and the class that won had asked for more chicken.
The eat more chicken billboards appear to be working.
Yes, the high school class of a couple years ago will be very happy. So, okay, seeing no other questions from council, I want to thank you, unless there's anything else critical you wanted to convey, because we do want to open this up to public comment. We did receive some letters of concern, and I'm sure this might be of interest to some members of the public. We would like to open it up now to any member of the public wishing to speak, and I'm sure we did read the emails we received.
Hi there, my name is Renata Ruggles, and the backyard you see in one of those photos is mine, 160 feet away from the car wash. It's actually his bedroom. So my husband and I were both born and raised here in Atascadero, and we worked really hard to purchase our home on North Faro Carril, which is located directly below the proposed car wash. I'm speaking to express our concerns regarding the noise impacts of the proposed car wash and drive-through restaurant. Our neighborhood is already significantly affected by noise from the Home Depot Center, including truck deliveries at all hours of the day and night, and the constant idling of delivery vehicles. Recently, our entire household, including our six-week-old baby and two-year-old, was awakened at 4:30 a.m. by a street sweeper. In addition, the area has become a dumping site for roosters, resulting in regular crowing beginning at daybreak and continuing throughout the morning. While we understand the proposed car wash must comply with current noise ordinances and operate between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., the addition of another noise-generating business raises serious concerns about the cumulative impact on nearby residents. We're also concerned about existing lighting conditions. There are currently four light poles along the access road parallel to the train tracks that are not shielded and spill directly into our bedrooms and backyard, as well as onto neighboring homes. As a result, we've been forced to install blackout shades in our children's bedrooms and are unable to fully enjoy our outdoor space, including our hot tub. We have raised this issue with city planning, and we're informed that although the lights do not meet current standards, they're considered pre-existing and are not required to be updated. Given that this hearing involves an amendment to the existing conditional use permit, we respectfully request that the City Council require the applicant to bring the existing lighting into compliance with current standards as part of this approval. Addressing this issue now would meaningfully improve the quality of life for surrounding residents. We support thoughtful and responsible development and wish the applicant success. However, it is essential that the construction and operation of these businesses include reasonable measures to minimize noise and ensure that all lighting is properly shielded to protecting neighboring homes. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Jeff Hoslin. I think staff and council asked a lot and got a great response on the majority of the questions. I still think lighting is a concern even when it is shielded. We see a problem in a new shopping center off Del Rio right now with the residents that live a little ways away with lighting that supposedly complies with what our standards. So I think we really need to look at that so we're not shining lights into people's yards when it's done. There's got to be a way to do more directional shielding to prevent that. I think that's great. I actually think the car wash will block a lot of the sound that happens. As of now, Home Depot, when we allowed Home Depot to put a rental center in, there was conditions that they could not put the rental stuff on the side back by the residents. As they continue to expand their rental, they're taking parking away, but it's in the front. So it is impacting a couple of people, but it's not as bad as it was before those conditions were put in. As for Chick-fil-A, As we know, there's no traffic on Sunday because they respectfully still close on Sunday. I found that out 20 years ago going through airports. I think it's a great addition to the city. I will tell you that in their queuing and what they do, if any council member is concerned, take a drive to Santa Maria. They've taken two lanes of parking in that shopping center for their drive-through, which makes it efficient. I don't use drive-through. I always go in, but it's amazing how their staff's out there, the delineators are out there, how they direct traffic. It is absolutely phenomenal. And I'll even bring up the Black Eye one, which they had to redo Santa Barbara a couple of years ago. And we hit that one every once in a while. And I can tell you how they made those changes on State Street is remarkable, because it was backing up beyond belief before. So I think you have an applicant that understands what they're doing. And, you know, I'm definitely for pushing them through. The concerns, of course, are the traffic flow into Home Depot and San Ramon. That's how I go home a lot, or come in to Home Depot. And again, the lighting. Thank you.
Okay, next speaker, please. And anybody else wishing to speak, please line up.
My name is Heather Benteen, and I live in the Vera Corral, De Anza area down there. And my biggest concern is just about the traffic. On that Staples side, there's like two driveways there. And when you are coming up that bridge, you're pretty much blocked from seeing anything that's coming over. And on multiple occasions, I've almost been hit coming as trucks are coming out of that Staples Center because they just can't see you. And then even some of the landscaping blocks some of the traffic there, so that as you're going towards your house over the bridge, they don't see you and they kind of pull out and you almost hit them. So there's a concern there. And then we live in the little cul-de-sac right there on De Anza. And Heather, I know you asked about the traffic, and there are multiple cars on any given day that come over the bridge there because I think they think you can get onto the on-ramp over that way. And they end up turning around in our cul-de-sac. I would say it's at least three or four cars a day that are coming over and turning around in the cul-de-sac. And so if people don't realize that they can't get onto the freeway that way, and there's not clear signage saying that this is a dead end, I think people will see a lot more traffic in that residence area of just people trying to turn around. So that's a concern. And then also, I'm not sure what the plan is for just like how the washers will work and like the runoff of the water, but down in that De Anza area, the drainage was not thought out when they built those homes, and there's really not a lot of drainage at all, so we get a lot of runoff, and we personally have had to put in a $20,000 sump pump just to take care of any extra water that kind of comes off. So I'm not sure what the plan is for the runoff water there. I'm sure they do recycle quite a bit of water, but any additional water that's going to come over that bridge and impact any erosion or any extra water could be an issue for us that live down there. I know it's already an issue, and so that is a big concern for me. And then in addition to the lighting and the sound noise, because you're up on a hill there and we're all down below, so the sound actually does travel a lot farther than people think. You know, I don't know the sound that was done, the sound studies, but they do have to take into consideration that the sound travels farther because we're on a hill. That hotel there, when people are sitting out and on the patio just having drinks, we can hear them all night long from our backyard. And so 9 o'clock is a really long time for a car wash to be running if we want to be sitting out and enjoying our own backyards that we've paid a lot of money to be able to do that. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Great timing. You had 4 seconds left. Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Karen Nall, and I am the mother of Renata Ruggles. I was calling the wrong name. And I babysit at this location, 160 feet from the proposed car wash. And I love the conversation. You picked up our issues with lighting and noise. Again, the car wash hours, it would be great to reduce those a bit, just as the, also the neighbor said, 9 o'clock is kind of late to enjoy your backyard. Noise, also I'd love the idea of a 6-month check to see how the car wash is doing. Is it meeting conditions? That would be wonderful. And then lighting, of course, we'd love to see a condition that the poles that they are responsible for or are on their property, we believe there's 4 light standards along that road. Possibly 2 of them are on this site. And if this developer is actually responsible for those, if those could be shielded at least, and then maybe make a good effort to shield the other 2 with the Home Depot owners or whoever owns those lots, it would be wonderful. So appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak, please approach.
Hi, my name is Stephen Raybon. I live at the house on De Anza Court with Heather Benteen, and I just had a thought that we do need signage down there. If the car washes or anything goes in, that it needs to be clearly visible that it's one way in, one way out, especially in the morning times. I know that we have a 55 and older elderly facility down there, and that's when they do the most of their exercise. Is at that time, so we get a lot of walkers, a lot of joggers right in that area, and just having clear signs in that area, one way in, one way out, this is not a through road, that would be hugely helpful if this goes through. So another thing I was thinking of is the trash. I don't know what's going on with that. I know we have the street sweepers over there, but with the extra 3 businesses, a Chick-fil-A as well, if there's any plan on that. So just wanted to bring that up, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, any other speakers? Okay, seeing none, I'm gonna close public comment on this item and bring it back to council for discussion and then action. I did wanna ask staff a few follow-on questions based on some of the public comment and some things I've thought of. One of the things that concerns me is, you know, with the Home Depot, when the Home Depot first opened or within a couple of years, there were a lot of noise complaints by the neighbors about early deliveries. And there is a condition, I believe, they're not supposed to have delivery trucks before it's 6 or 7 o'clock. I think it's 7. Can you comment on that? I mean, is that correct? Is it 7?
I'd have to follow up on the exact time, but there were a series of complaints that came from Santa Cruz Road. They came from the backyards that faced into the parking lot in the front of Home Depot. And most of the complaints were about shopping carts going in and out, and they were also about the trucks queuing around the backside. And we did limit the hours of the morning deliveries and evening deliveries. I believe it was 7.
Right. And my concern is that what happens is, you know, time changes, you get a new Home Depot manager or whatever, and the next thing you know, you're back to having trucks, you know, backing up, beep, beep, beep. I mean, it wouldn't be so bad if they didn't have those, but they're required. and you know, so it's good for a while, and then the next thing you know, you're back. And then to hear that, you know, you've got sweepers coming in at 4:30, it's like, we need to do a better job of well, first of all, the neighbors, instead of just sucking it up, please complain, you know, complain to us, and we will go to the Home Depot or the property owner, in this case, whoever's calling out that sweeper at 4:30 or 5 or whatever, and say, you can't do that. You know, you agreed not to do it. And the same thing with the delivery vehicles. I mean, I'm, as a frequent Home Depot customer, I want them to be fully stocked, but they agreed to certain things. We expected them to follow it. And I think for the neighbor's sake, you heard the developers are willing to do the light things, certainly on the property they owned, and they hopefully and staff will coordinate with the other property owners on some of those things. I also think that the dead end sign, I thought it was very near the bridge, but wherever it is, it needs to be extremely abundantly clear, perhaps larger. If there's any bushes obstructing views, that needs to be looked at. So I'm looking at the shopping center owner, because those things are, you know, are potential liability problems for you guys anyway. You want to make sure that those are not a problem. And I can see that, you know, coming out of those, out of Staples, especially if you're coming out of where the trucks do, there's not a lot of sight distance from people coming up over the bridge. So those kind of things we would expect to be fixed. I did have 2 or a follow-up question, two follow-up questions for staff. One is on the on San Ramon as you come over the overpass. Right now, I do this almost every day, so I should know, but I don't believe there's any lane delineation. There's essentially, if you're going to go straight to Home Depot, if you're going to turn left to Spring Hill Suites for a Rotary meeting, or if you're going to turn right, like some folks would do to get on the northbound, there's no, even though there's three places you can go, there's really only one lane per se, correct?
Yes, I'm looking at Google Street View right now on my computer, and there's no, there's just one lane going there, enough? But there's probably enough. It looks like it's pretty close to maybe allowing, you know, a shared through left and then a right only.
Right, because I think of the people who are wanting to get onto the northbound freeway, and maybe they're stuck behind people that are going to either Chick-fil-A or Home Depot or going to their homes on Farrell Carril, that if there's enough space, some delineation might be.
Sure, we can take a look at that.
Okay.
And there are currently two, not a three, not a through street signs going northbound. There's one just past the four-way stop intersection. Mm-hmm. There's one right at the bridge.
Okay.
Going northbound. So we'll look at that and maybe change those up or freshen them up.
Right. I mean, I realize, if, you know, folks, there's signage. I love signage. Telling people, you know, giving people information, but sometimes people just don't see signage, and you're always going to get some people are going to, you know, ignore or not see the sign and go on their merry way. So sign won't solve everything. Last question. When Councilmember Newsom had asked about lights and LED lights, I want to make sure that everybody understands we don't, certainly that the public understands, we don't allow the blinking, loud, obnoxious lights that you see in Vegas, where you occasionally see a small one in a storefront and a Tascadero. Those are actually not allowed, correct?
Correct. Our sign regulations now do not allow motion, do not allow flashing. They do allow internally illuminated signs.
Correct. Right. But I mean, it won't be.
And externally. Yeah, it won't be flashing, won't be moving.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. I think for myself, I see, you know, several conditions can be included in here that sounds like the applicant is probably willing to consider. But I want to start on the left and go see what you guys, how you feel about the project, and then any conditions you would like to change or add.
I think the lighting, reevaluating the lighting that affects neighboring properties. I think hours of operation, as just a business owner and person who frequents car washes, because I like to keep my cars clean, I don't think staffing a car wash after 7 p.m. would even be something they're going to want to do. I don't see around here car washes being utilized. I used to have one of my businesses behind a self-service car wash for 4 years, and nobody, unless it was a hot summer day, you wouldn't hardly ever have anybody there a couple hours past dark, especially in the colder months. I don't think it's a hindrance to a business going in there of that size to, say, 7 p.m. I also think that they're probably going to limit it even further in the winter months to 5, just because of the economics of it, light and manning the booth, as it were. So I think hours of operation for the car wash itself, lighting, reevaluating the noise, maybe in 3 to 9 months. You know, if we're going to do it, might as well do it sooner. You'll know in 3 months. And if it's a total nuisance to the neighborhood in a month, you're going to wait 5 more months to find out if anything's going to happen. So I think maybe 3 to 6 months might be a good one. And I think I've seen the signs that, because we do go to the Rotary Club every Wednesday there at Spring Hill Suites, and I do go to the Staples all the time, and I'm at Starbucks more than I probably should be. I think just putting signs as like dead end. I mean, like, is that not politically correct to put dead end or something huge, like not huge, but very apparent what's going on there? Because I have seen people from the hotel that charge their Tesla and then they bang a left and go across the bridge. And, you know, I've seen that time and time again where I've seen people leave the hotel, take a left, and I'm just thinking, where are you going? You know? So I think just having signs that are more dummy proof, traveler proof, maybe even people foreign language proof, you know, dead end or just like symbolism, you know? I think that's important, just better signage. So I think lighting, hours of operation, evaluating the noise in a shorter time frame would satisfy me. I do like the fact that it was clarified that car wash was the third, just because, you know, you can have, you can ease into it with the Chick-fil-A and see how things are going. And it's not all at once, especially construction. Construction is going to be its own animal with lane closures here and there and equipment and getting the things built. So I do like the graduation of the 1, 2, 3. Those are my recommendations.
Thank you. I will say that Chick-fil-A is not the easing in part, but I completely completely agree that phasing is a good thing here. Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Daris.
Excuse me. Thank you. I think the lighting, well, first of all, I like the project. I'm excited about seeing this happen. It'll be nice to see this area of town developed, and hopefully that will even spark more commerce in that area. So I think this is going to be good for the city. On the lighting issue, I think it is important that light standards that are in a commercial, on a commercial lot, not wash onto residential lots. Having the adjacency, you know, it makes it challenging, I'm sure, but it is something that is doable, whether they're lower, deeper shrouds, however it needs to be done. But I think that that's important, not to have, especially when they're 24-hour lights, that you're not, you know, that you don't have to put blackout shades in your on your bedroom windows because the lights are constantly on. So I think that's important, something to consider. Operational hours, I would agree with Councilmember Peak. 9 p.m. seems a little late, especially since it is adjacent to residential areas. If it was somewhere else where the houses weren't right next door, you know, 9 p.m. might be fine. But I don't know that I've ever taken my car to a car wash at 9 o'clock anyway, or 8:30. So I think 7 o'clock is probably a reasonable time for operational hours. The noise, if, you know, reevaluating that 3 to 6 months, I think is a good idea. The orientation is, I was thinking about this on the orientation of it. You know, it is good that it's relatively, well, it is parallel to the residences behind it. The one direction faces towards probably where the biggest noise source is going to be, towards Spring Hill Suites. So they'll be affected by it to some degree. And it's probably far enough away. Well, it might be far enough away that the sound won't reverberate off of that to the residences. Because I know sound, I know a little bit about sound and how it works, and how you could be surprised how you could be standing in one area and it doesn't seem very loud. You move over, and if there's a building behind it, it vibrates off of that, and it all of a sudden sounds louder. At the other end, it is a tunnel effect. It's going to bounce off of staples, and I just hope that it's not bouncing off and making it louder at the residential area. So I think it's important to definitely revisit that in a reasonable amount of time to see if there's anything we can do if there is a noise issue with that. And then lastly, I didn't realize that people were making that mistake of driving across the bridge thinking it was a quicker way to the freeway. So maybe signage needs to be more clear that that's not the way to go. So not a through street, dead end, however you want to word it. If there requires more than one sign, then let's do it. Let's keep people out of the neighborhood, because people will turn around in private driveways, and we don't want to create that issue with the additional traffic that hopefully Chick-fil-A will be inviting. So let's all play nice in a sandbox and try to keep people out of there. And other than that, I'm looking forward to it. But I think the lighting is important. Lighting, operational hours, and in the noise, I think, is the most important thing. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Funk.
I'm pleased that we're going this direction. I want to see us condition the project on that both the